Hello, boy. That 30-second countdown really went fast. I don't know what happened, but my name is Bart Sharp, and you are on Becoming Quantum Conscious on the United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 107.7, 105.3, broadcasting out of the beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, but also on the UPRN website, on cable television, on the Roku Network, that's ROKU, as well as Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or X, excuse me. I'm not keeping up with Mr. Musk, even though he lives in my hometown of Austin. So all of those places were all over the world, and I am all over the world, or at least in Europe or France or Southwest France specifically, as we are broadcasting out of the little town of Quillan, France. That would be Quillan if you are Texan, but if you're French, it's Quillan. So let's confuse everybody horribly. And it's lots of rain and lots of cool weather. And that's all over the UK and France and probably every place in between. And I just want to reach out to all of those people in the wet, cold rain that's they've had it for like 6 months or something very longer than usual. All I can say is stay strong. Remember that you still have a smile and it will end someday with sunshine and no more rain. And today on Becoming Quantum Conscious, we have Michaela O'Driscoll. Hi, Michaela.
Hi, Bart.
How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for having me here. Great to be here. Hello, everyone.
Yes, Michaela is a homeopathic doctor, and she was on last year in 2023, and we had a great time. And we just opened it up for comments. For anybody that has questions on homeopathic remedies and such, to just bring up whatever it is. But particularly, with this show, and we don't want to limit it to if you have something that you want to address, but we're going to be homeopathic remedies for stress, emotions, and grief. Or sadness, as they say, kind of the same. But that's going to be the specialty with that today. But we can talk about anything. It's an open-ended thing. And Michaela, could you just start the show with just telling us a little bit about what homeopathy is and how it works?
Sure. Well, homeopathy is an energy medicine. So it's not just herbs or herbalism. We can actually use any substance that are diluted and vibrated in a very specific way. So that what by the time you get the remedy, it can have been diluted in a specific way, 10, 20, 100 times, 1,000 times. So you actually end up with the energy imprint of the medicine, the spiritual essence of the medicine. And that way, we can use poisons as remedies. We can use things like sea salt, very bland substances, and they have really powerful healing effects.
And so you might take something that would be an essence of maybe a disease and make it into a homeopathic, or would you do it with like an herb that you knew would be good for an illness? How would that work?
We're kind of getting more advanced when you take disease, but generally using herbs or even metals or substances diluted and vibrated is creates amazing remedies. And we can also use anything. So we can use disease products, we can use medications, pharmaceutical medications that have given bad effects and make them into homeopathic. It's very, very creative.
So that's really interesting with pharmaceuticals because I'm not a big pharma person, and I see a lot of toxicity in some of the chemical man-made things, but we could take a fraction of that and possibly make it into a homeopathic.
Yeah, the main reason you would do that, because generally it would just be better to use a better remedy like a herb or whatever is indicated. But if somebody's been on a medication for a long time or a medication may be invasive, you can give that. I mean, an example is I've actually got homeopathic remedies made of the COVID vaccines where people have had bad effects from them. Mm. Although I haven't actually used them yet. We've used other things, but it's homeopathy is so creative.
Yeah.
And very, very holistic. So it's not just about taking remedies. It's also about your lifestyle.
And also seeing what the pace of the world is going through and what they're interacting with. And so the whole gamut of what you could concoct is right there at you. And yes, there are homeopathic doctors and I guess organizations and professions. And then there are people that are part of that, but yet they are experimenting and finding new ideas.
Yeah, when, particularly when I started out, I used to teach a lot of first aid homeopathy courses for ordinary people to get a stock of remedies to have in the house, particularly for mothers and children. It was really useful. So that could bypass ending up with something becoming more sick. And you just give the remedy for a flu, a fever, a cold, and often it would do the trick. But it's kind of having a level of understanding and trust. Mm. And it is a different paradigm in a sense, because in homeopathic medicine, we see the body as intelligent and we work with healing and health. So we're working with the healing ability or the vital force of the body rather than trying to stamp out symptoms or suppress. We're working with enhancing resilience and health and robustness.
So you're really strengthening the body to take care of any illness that is showing up and making them sick in the long run.
Yeah.
They might not ever get it again.
Yeah. And in these days where we've got so many problems with poor air, poor water, poor food, poor soil, all my clients, I ask as much as possible to eat organic food. And I know that's not always possible, but as much as you can to have good food, to have good water. If you have to have tap water, get a good filter, bless it, to remove stresses, to spend time in nature, to get exercise, to have good relationships. All these very basics are what keeps us healthy.
Indeed it does. And you know, as the theme is for today, there's something that probably is the starting point of so many illnesses, and that is stress. And emotions we can't resolve, or we feel like we can't resolve. Every emotion is resolvable, but not everybody is believing all of that.
Yeah.
And so how does stress and emotions create illness?
Well, from a homeopathic perspective or holistic perspective, we see all diseases originating from the spiritual and then the mental, emotional, and then going into the body. So stress may cause anger or grief or heartache, and that will have a toll on the body. Mm-hmm. And at first that may just be not sleeping so well, maybe not eating so well, not digesting so well. But if that continues and the maintaining cause isn't changed or not resolved, then you can get ill health. But we have got homeopathic remedies, and in a way I shouldn't say this remedy is for this or that, because they're so holistic and each remedy has a very big picture of what it can cure, from mental, emotional to physical. But there are a few remedies, and I'm going to tell you one. It's called Ignatia, and it's homeopathic valium.
Would you say that slower and kind of spell it?
Ignatia. I-G-N-A-T-I-A. Ignatia. And it's a remedy that has a wide physical picture, but very much it's very useful where there's grief or any kind of shock, and it will help the emotions to flow and pass through rather than being kind of frozen, because mm-hmm. that's what keeps people sick. Ooh. So it's a fantastic remedy to know about. Yeah, Ignatia.
Ignatia,
I-G-N-A-T-I-A, Ignatia.
And this is something that's quite available if you if you just went to some health food store or something of that nature.
I was looking for America because I know a lot of your audience is in America.
I know we're a lot in the UK and all over the world.
So in the UK, we've got health food shops and a really couple of great homeopathic pharmacies. In America, I think shops like Whole Foods. In France, the pharmacies hold the homeopathic remedies, and in Europe, but they don't go higher than 30C, which is 30 times diluted one drop to 100 drops, which is pretty dilute, because after 6C, there's no material dose left. Mm-hmm. But personally, when I'm working with clients, I prefer to use a 200C or a 1M, and those you need to get from the pharmacies.
Yeah. Okay. So if we're living in a very stressful industrial life, which probably so many of the audience is, and we're doing a lot of repetitive things that are frustrating, such as waiting in line, hard work. If you're driving a car, you're stuck in traffic or you're just too close to people on the subway. All of these things, day in and day out, people are doing. Stressful for a lot of folks. Is there anything that you would recommend with such?
Well, first of all, my holistic perspective is pause, breathe, look at the ways that you can make this better. If you're driving, is there beautiful music you can play? Are there strategies you can do? If you're on the subway and people are awful, that's not so easy, but learning the best ways around that. Also, rest is really important because sometimes the more stressed we get, the more we push ourselves. So if you can really make sure you get enough rest, sleep, good food, exercise. And sometimes if you're really not in a good shape and you're struggling and everything's out of control or overwhelming, beginning with just small changes can really make a difference. So just beginning to breathe and pause, maybe a little bit of meditation practice or a little bit of dance or exercise or something that you love, that nourishes you. Not something that nourishes you in a way that's not life enhancing, but something that's life enhancing and a bit inspiring to shift the pattern interrupt the density. And the remedy that would come up would probably be Ignatia. If there's an aspect of fear or anxiety, then I think of the remedy Aconite, another very good remedy.
Spell that one. They're so household names, you know.
If they are, if you're me, A-C-O-N-I-T-E, Aconite.
Yeah. And just to add on to what you're saying, because there was a time that I was a family man, worked all day, you know, drove my kids all around, or stepchildren. And I had to have something that when I was doing it, I had more energy. And that was always the litmus test. When I do this, does it excite me to the degree that I'm energized? For me, it was painting.
Yeah.
And I just would have to go in my little box in the house and all the chaos of teenagers and stuff in the room. And I'm painting away because it just made me feel good. And that kind of gave me my own little creative space that energized me. Is my mental health.
Yeah. And sometimes it can be pausing because you may not really know yet what that is that's going to help you, but just pausing and taking the time out.
Hey, Julie Evans.
Hello, Julie. We've got somebody on the chat. That's exciting.
Yeah, and if you have any questions of just anything about homeopathy or your health or other people's health or somebody you knew down the street that had health issues and just curious on how to approach it, let us know. And yeah. So yeah, that's a lot about what it's interacting with is those problems and you know, whether that be stress or one of the really favorite emotions of a lot of people is anger. You know, so many people live by anger. And anything that you would have to say with anger?
Yeah, I'd like to listen to the person and find out what they're angry about and get them to really to express it, maybe write it all out. If it's something really extreme, I have done anger release work, conscious anger release work with people, where we create a sacred space and the person is invited with a bit of rubber hose, telephone directories, to release it and do all the expletives and all the things that might not appear sacred, but just release it. And it's always better out than in.
Indeed.
But sometimes a journaling practice can be really useful. And if someone is in an ongoing situation where they are angry, I would say it would be really good to enter a partnership to find a solution, to find what strategies or what way is there around this, to know that being angry all the time is not serving the person, not serving the people around them. And right now it's not serving our earth or the planet.
Yeah.
You know, so, but it's not easy because I notice there's a lot of people angry and in division.
As one of my teachers said, anger, everybody is doing it, but nobody's allowing it. In other words, we don't have this place for it to be, but also a place to really allow to understand why it came about in the first place.
Yeah, and I think if possible, I mean, it depends how heated it is, because if it's going to violence, well, that's not okay. And it's also about a level of responsibility.
Yeah.
But if it's possible to really, really listen, and if you're going to a practitioner like me, I'd like to be a really good container or listening space and to really hear the story, because sometimes you think you're angry about one thing, but it may be there are many layers to it, and often it might be from childhood as well being aggravated. So it's a way of getting to an idea where you know you don't have to stay in this state, where you're going to move out of it and move into a more peaceful way of being.
So do you, whenever you're talking to somebody like this, that's like doing anger, are you listening to their body, or like when I say listening to the body, perceiving their body and seeing where that anger is resonating, where it be in their right side of their gut or in their spleen or in their
not
liver?
Not necessarily. I'm just thinking of a specific example of somebody I was treating a few weeks ago. And he was terrible stress. And as soon as I spoke to him, I said, look, you need to stop work right now. You're not going back for a week. He was in an impossible work situation. He was being abused. He was like working in a corridor. Everybody was treating him like the dog that was getting kicked. I said, okay, no more. You have to stop. Then he went to his doctor. He got signed off for 2 weeks. Then he got the permission to work from home. And as far as I know, he got remedies as well, homeopathic remedies. He's changed his work situation. But in that situation, his manifestation was he was going a little crazy, almost psychotic. He was shouting. He was behaving crazily. But he was so overwhelmed and he'd been so abused and he kept the anger in for so long that it was, you know, coming out like that, which makes me think of another remedy.
I can't wait to hear.
But you're going to ask me to spell it, and it's really hard, even for me. It's called Staphys agria, and it's Staphysagria. Staphys agria.
Say that three times really fast.
But it's a plant, like all the ones I've spoken so far are plants. And it's a really fantastic remedy where there is suppressed emotion and where there's a sense of violation and extreme injustice. And often the person will be so nice, and then suddenly they'll explode. They can't take any more. And it's a remedy where there's violation and abuse. It's a number one remedy. Also, when you've had surgery or something invasive, it can be a useful remedy, as well as the healing remedies. And it's also a healing remedy.
And say it again. Slowly.
Staphys agria.
Staphys agria.
Yeah.
And so if you're out there, write it down. And like the story you were saying, it's like you got him out of the context, which is creating the anger. And then the homeopathics can come in and start healing it because he's not recreating it every day.
Yeah. But he is an example of somebody being in an impossible situation. Yeah. And sometimes what happens is we beat ourselves up so much, we continue in an impossible situation, getting more unwell and feeling worse about ourselves. And then behaving, he wasn't able to function properly. So they were telling him he was stupid and it was creating a vicious circle. So I just said to him, this is not okay. You have to leave now.
Well, that's so much about what life is. Sometimes we get into these repetitive situations that we do not have an answer for. And this is, you know, doing shamanic work that I do, I continually see that in people's childhoods, that they have something that they are not able to resolve. And therefore they keep repeating it all through their lives because it becomes unconscious. And it keeps repeating themselves because the unconscious part always attracts it back, kind of as a way for you to maybe eventually resolve it. Mm-hmm. However, the homeopathics can help not resolve it, but give it some peace so that something new can come up.
Well, this remedy, Staphys agria, used to be called the mother-in-law remedy. Mm. And it was where people were living, and it should be the father-in-law or the son, because that sounds really sexist, but it would be
just
where
the
people,
asshole remedy, yeah.
Where they were living in an impossible situation and they get the remedy, and then next time you see them, the mother-in-law doesn't live with them anymore. It's like something happens, some boundaries that are healthy get set up, or some change happens.
Or your whole vibration starts to change, and
exactly.
Therefore you're not attracting it as relevant.
Yeah,
so
that's the key.
There's a lot of that, and as you said, writing and really understanding it at a cognitive level is really important.
Yeah.
Hey, Carrie.
Hello.
Carrie, are you in France yet? Just curious. She's a French / American. In between both worlds, type of gal like myself, except I'm not a gal. So welcome you, Carrie. Yeah, so if y'all have any questions, please throw them out there about what is there. It's funny, as we did this show before last year, we really focused a lot on the intuitive process of how you work in that. You know, you're feeling into this, and then the intuition, and then the practicality of knowing the remedies all kind of meld together to where you find solutions.
Yeah, and I'm very impressed, Corey. You wrote in the chat, Staphys agria, correctly spelt. That's marvelous.
Dang.
Because it's a complicated one. But yeah, so homeopathy is very holistic, because if it was just about taking a pill, it wouldn't quite be it. Although actually, it does work on animals and on people who don't really care whether it works or not. It can be very helpful. But I work in a very holistic way. So I believe exercise is really important, and posture, because if your posture is not good, it creates sickness and imbalance. If your food is not good, it's not, you know, let food be thy medicine. Hippocrates said that. And it's really, once you start to get back to a good level of health, eating well is really, really important.
And eating with joy.
Yeah.
It's like, I always suggest turn off the TV, turn off the music, and eat to where you really taste things every bite. Or you're sitting and you're enjoying the company of somebody, and you're in this communion together with the food. Food should not be eaten quickly.
And France is a good place for that. Although where I live, where Bart is now, often things are closed, like cafes and restaurants. But we do get really nice food, like quality organic food and beautiful cheeses and beautiful foods. So we are very lucky with that.
Well, it's very creative here. There's no 24-hour restaurants that serve you a hamburger at 3 o'clock in the morning, if you like, that may taste good, but isn't that maybe not that great for your body?
And also it's all about balance, because sometimes I just recently I've had a few people I've been working with, and it's more commonly in women, but they're actually underweight, and there's a tendency to be a little over strict. And the problem is, if you get sick, your body needs a certain amount of resilience and robustness, and being underweight is not always the best thing. I know everybody is very, it's a very individual thing, and also having respect for everybody's process, because being overweight's not great and being underweight's not great, and also being happy in your own body, however, whatever it is as well, is really important.
So what are you a fan of, just like when you look at foods or you're trying to think about how much you should be eating and such, of this asking your body or maybe muscle testing to go, is this food right for me?
Well, I feel I really try to steer away from anything extreme. When I was younger, like really young, we used to do a day fasting. I think it was when I was 15, but it was extreme. And I've later learned in my life that if I do anything extreme, it pushes me the other way. So I try to regularly just eat good food, and 3 meals a day. And it works for me. You know, generally it's a bit more in the evening and quite a lot of fruits and salad. Another person will need other things, because all our body types, they say it relates to your blood. There's so many different systems and maps of ways of being. And so also when I work with people, I really am respectful of the person's choices. And we work together in a partnership to find, you know, if those are the issues,
yeah.
You know.
I always find that when you tell somebody they shouldn't have something that they just love, they're going to resist you all the way and trust you less.
Yeah, and a little bit moderation is good, but even moderation in moderation sometimes.
And Carrie Langdodrock has a, she says, yeah, oh, it's these little wee prints. Yep, underweight, slim my whole life. I eat healthy now, but also need extra healthy fats like avocado,
yeah,
and olives and coconut oils.
That's really good. Yeah, and that's important. And it's all really good for your brain and your nervous system. So, yeah, good stuff. Yeah.
And Julie Evans says it's good to undertake 16-hour breaks from evening to morning. Yeah.
Yeah, some people are doing that intermittent fasting, and it also depends on your system, because for some women, big fasting's not so good. You know, it's not very good for my system,
yeah.
You know, but everybody is different, yeah.
I'm always asking my body what's right for me this day, and sometimes it's good to, you know, go 6-7 hours between breakfast and lunch, and some days it's not.
Yeah,
and that's just okay to respect your what you feel inside of yourself,
yeah.
With that, particularly if you're not doing it out of stress, if you're pushing yourself and you're in your head, you're probably not going to make great decisions on stuff like that. But if you're relaxed and you just feel that normal flow of life with you, which whatever that is for you, you're probably going to be making some really good choices.
You're reminding me now, it's funny, you're talking about good choices, about food. I was in India for a month in February, and I was with a group for the first 2 weeks, and half of our group got sick. First of all, it was this virus-y, weird cough. And I had my homeopathy, flu, fever, got better. But then I had nausea and diarrhea, and it was horrible. And it took a while for me to get my next lot of remedies, which was a wormwood combination herbal and podophyllum, which is a great remedy for diarrhea, acute.
Say that again, podophyllum?
Podophyllum.
Podophyllum.
Yeah. But there, I could hardly eat anything, so I would have a little bowl of something every day. But it was really hard, and it was really hard not to be able to enjoy food, I have to say. And I was so happy to have my homeopathy to get well, you know, but I lost a lot of weight, actually, just even in 10 days. Yeah.
So were you taking homeopathic remedies to just try to get the toxins out?
So first of all, it was this virus that everybody had, and that's got sorted with one lot of, and then it was the nausea and the diarrhea, and it took a few days for me to get those remedies. But then when I got the correct remedy, which happened to be podophyllum, yeah, I was fine within a day. With the also this wormwood tincture, which is an antiparasitic herbal combination.
And Carrie Langdock says, I can't fast that long. I have hypoglycemia started in 2017, which is why I changed my eating. I can totally relate.
Yeah, I personally, particularly for women, I don't think it's always the best. But as I say, everybody's different, you know, and I do know people who are doing intermittent fasting and it really works for them, you know, so yeah. It's good.
I've made it to like lunchtime with fasting, and then I have to eat something. It never works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then everybody's totally different. And I work, you know, I don't always, what I consider like work and play are kind of all the same things. Like this might be considered work, being on the radio, and this is super stressful and you got to be paying attention and all of this stuff. And no, it's really fun to do a radio show, and it takes a certain amount of intensity, preparation, and all of that good stuff. But I don't have that attitude that it's work. It's just a lot of intensity, and I like to surf in that stuff.
I like the sound of this part. I feel fun. It's how the new earth will be, which is when more of us, our work is doing what we love, and people aren't forced into any level of slavery where everybody's doing something they love. And even if it's, you know, like somebody's got to clean the toilets or sweep the roads, but if it's in a service way, it's wonderful. So, yeah.
You have to turn it around. I was a school teacher for many years, and we're put into sometimes conditions or situations with students that is extremely challenging, or some would say stressful. And I'd see teachers freak out and they would, you know, start complaining like, oh, how horrible this is. And I'm like, no, I just chose this. I chose the job. And I have to turn everything around to lemonade, you know, and that's part of the job. If you're going to do it and do it well, because you're a leader to students, and you're teaching them, gosh, life can be great any situation.
That's a great attitude. Yeah. And that's a healthy attitude. And as you're saying this, I'm just thinking of another homeopathic remedy that's kind of emotional, although it's not the best to say one thing because they treat so many things. But for children, particularly young children, a remedy that's fantastic, and it can be when they've got physical ailments, is pulsatilla for little babies, little children. And it can often be where there's a small sense of abandonment or don't leave me. But having said that, sometimes I've given that to big gruff men who you'd never say, oh, they're pulsatilla, but underneath that's been going on. And it's a very helpful remedy. It's a wind flower, but yeah, it's got an essence of that feeling of, oh, don't leave me, and a kind of vulnerable and soft and sweet, but feeling abandoned.
Indeed.
Very good for, if you're not sure and something going on with a child, it's often a good remedy to give.
Yeah, it sounds great. Say that again.
Pulsatilla.
Okay. And Julie Evans says, just trying to not eat after 7 p.m. And then later breakfast. I think those are great strategies.
I
eat pretty early and then stay away from food. I think that midnight snack is, you know, your body can adjust where you do not have to have a midnight snack. Some people really say, well, I wake up, and one of my chiropractor friends is saying, well, eat like a handful of almonds, just like 5 or 6 of them, because that will give you enough energy to go through the night sleeping if you're doing a strategy and you find yourself waking up.
Yeah.
Which brings me to sleep.
Yes.
Because a lot of people under stress, and this happened to me as a teacher, and I would see it with these teachers. You could tell that overstressed teachers by they would wake up at 4 p.m. in the morning with this adrenal fatigue. And I want you to think about that, because I need to do the call letters right now, as and you come with a response with that if you got one. You are on Becoming Quantum Conscious, and my name is Bart Sharp, and we are with Michaela O'Driscoll from Kion, France. There's so many talented people in the Kion, Southwest France area. I interview quite a few of them when I am in country, Southwest France, that is. And because for a place of 150,000 people, I know so many extraordinarily talented people. And Michaela is one of them. And as I drift away from what I was originally going to say, you are on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network on 107.7 and 105.3, broadcasting out of New Orleans, Louisiana. And this is on Roku, the UPRN website, Facebook, Twitter, X, Spreaker, and other internet platforms all over the world. So if you have adrenal fatigue and you're waking up in the middle of the night, any remedies?
Yeah, well, adrenal fatigue is a kind of diagnosis, but basically it means you've got exhaustion, and then you're so exhausted you're waking up and you've got a level of stress. Now that could be so many different remedies, and again the whole strategy would be to look at what's going on. There are remedies that will help the kidneys and the adrenals. One is called berberis, but it could be 4 in the morning. I was going to say it's arsenicum, but I think that's 1 in the morning. But they vary. And if the picture was somebody who was quite fastidious, then it could be arsenicum, which is arsenic, which is quite a good remedy for many, many conditions. And it has quite high anxiety. But again, it's just kind of hard to generalize.
Yeah, but arsenicum.
Yeah.
You're really talking about that. It really handles a lot of stress type of things with that. Is that correct?
Well, arsenicum as a remedy, arsenic, it covers a lot of conditions. Like, it's a very good remedy for asthma. The kind of person who needs arsenicum can be somebody who's the kind of person who'd straighten the picture if it was crooked, who has order. But it's not necessarily the only one, because it's almost like adrenal fatigue is too general a condition. And these days, unfortunately, particularly Americans, I shouldn't generalize, but people are exhausted because they're just pushing too much. Indeed. And so the start is to... I'm just thinking of yoga and yoga nidra, just deep, deep rest. And then the appropriate remedies being taken as well, which could be your constitutional remedy, which virtually could be pretty much anything, which could be Ignatia or aconite or, you know.
Yeah.
And
I think we had to rebuild, or at least for the Americans and the high stress that we all live in the workday world, when we get over 50 and approaching 60, we may have to start doing something to rebuild our adrenal systems. And it's not a fast process, from what I understand. It takes a few years.
It's so common, because burnout these days is such a syndrome. And basically, the way the world goes, if you did what you're meant to, as in work and push and, you know, or particularly for women, a job and children and household and, you know, men too, then you just push and the body's in exhaustion. Also, when you're having to do more than you would naturally do, because in older cultures, there would be more community around and you would work less hours. So it seems to me part of the intensity of the madness of the times we're in, because if anything, with all the mechanization and digitalization, we should be working less. So my thing is work less, do what you love. And that may be really flippant to somebody who's having to work 3 jobs and has got kids and can't pay the bills. So I don't mean to be flippant, because that's horrible. But to really, really, in that situation, my way is prayer, but to really, really open to the fact that we live on this earth and there are solutions, and activate that consciousness that this doesn't have to be the way, and find a more efficient, effective way full of solutions where there's cooperation with others and where you're not having to, it's like somebody's having to hold up the dam, or and like it's all up to you and at work, and we can't live like this.
I think a lot of it is, if you have a tough lot of kids, you're overworking, you know, can you take that challenge? Do you take it and be a victim, or you be a hero? In other words, I do have a lot on my back, but I can be the hero and carry that in a gallant way and turn as much as possible around to something positive. Because when you do that, your body changes in vibration, and therefore it's easier. And absolutely, you attract a lot more good luck to you. And probably somebody in that situation probably use a little bit of luck to help with that. As opposed to being the victim, you're almost like your payoff is like, oh, another thing I get to suffer with. And that's all your verbiage is maybe saying, well, how hard and terrible this is. And guess what? You'll probably attract it.
I love what you're saying, Bart. I think that's really, really important. And also sometimes in that culture of overwork, exhaustion, stress, push, 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 I'm seeing very many people who are very, very sick. And it's almost like people die or they have a serious accident. And once that happens, you can't even do any of it anyway. So why don't you take a break first and be the hero, but also create a situation where, you know, or we listen, the doctors are like the priests, and you go to the doctor and they say, well, I'm writing you off for a month, and then we do it. Well, why don't we do that ourselves? Because we often know more about health. Yeah. No, actually, I know many fantastic doctors. I've just been a bit demoralized with the overprescription of very bad medications lately, but I know fantastic doctors who don't do that. But, you know, we also need to say, I'm saying that's enough. I can't do this. I won't do this. And be a hero as well, you know. But it's like the pattern is to be in that victim place, and then suddenly you're seriously ill, or you had a bad accident, or you're half dead. And that helps nobody.
And as I worked with special education and aggressive students, so we took behavior management courses every year to be trained in, you know, dealing with people that are aggressive. And the one line that they kept saying again and again and again, like, you know, that mantra, know your limitations and the limitations of this course. And I found that that applies to life, and knowing how much you can do. And when you feel like I've done enough, you ask for help. And that can be from all kinds of things, from God to friends to whatever, to where you're not holding all of that. That means you're going to link with other people. You're not going to be alone. And you are taking it on as a team, which is always more powerful.
Yeah, I think asking for help, and maybe asking for help before you're feeling you can't do it, just saying this is getting a bit much, and creating a strategy where life works and where it's a win-win for everyone, and that you're a hero. Yeah, yeah. But really asking for help is key.
Thank you, Julie. Indeed. So if there's any suggestions with that feeling that, you know, because we have a lot of hyperactive people and they are running on full cylinders.
Yeah.
And of course, the, you know, the modern day is, well, you take a medication to slow you down, which kind of numbs your senses. Or in America, it's very popular to microdose with that. But is there a homeopathic that might just help in that, calming the nervous system down?
Again, with calming the nervous system, I would think of Ignatia, perhaps Nat Muir, which is sea salt as a long term. But in a way,
sea salts. Could you explain that?
Yeah, it's another remedy. It's more for chronic or held in grief, more long term. And it's actually made from salt, but potentized, diluted, vibrated, homeopathic salt. It's a very powerful remedy for grief. And also in people where they may not be aware of it, but it may have been grief that happened a long time ago that's held in, that's kind of a little bit of a block. But going back to your question about, it's a little bit like an allopathic answer would be to get a something to calm you down, whereas a homeopathic approach would to take the case and see which specific remedy might be helpful. But also it would be a strategy of lifestyle, of what's going on, and what even small tweaks, 1% change, can make a big difference to calm things down. I mean, that's how I work. And sometimes when people do get these ADHD diagnoses, they are given helpful strategies. It's just I'm not so sure what the medications are doing to the wiring of the brain. And any medication taken long term, it's not a great strategy, because there's a level of toxicity. And if we trust our own bodies and our own resilience, we'll learn to change. It's better to change rather than take a pill to fix something, so that you're squeezing yourself into a way of being that's already not working. Indeed. If I expressed that very well.
And Julie says meditation as well. So totally agree.
Yeah, meditation, mindfulness, get the people out in nature, lying on the ground, into a wild river, swimming safely, of course, or having fun, but time out in nature, feet on the ground, so you're really earthing, your nervous system will calm down.
And those are in stressful jobs, like I was when I taught. There's a big difference between teaching and then life after teaching. Because, you know, for me, when I taught, I needed 30 minutes to just let my body calm down from that big rush of what teaching is. Because teaching is like surfing. You're surfing, you're moving quickly with all of these students who are much younger than you, have a heck of a lot more energy than you, and you're just moving in that energy. And whether it's positive or negative, you're wiring yourself to a faster pace than my 40 to 50 something year old body would really like to do. Now the body can do it, but it would prefer to be at a slower pace. And I always needed time to kind of feel my body and let all of those body parts kind of relax. See what got triggered in the day, like, repress shame or anger, and feel that in my body and let that process out of my body.
What you say is really important, time for decompression. And in Italy they talk about the sweet art of doing nothing, and we've kind of lost it. So after a day like that, having just time where you have that space to undo, to unwind. And then times in your week where you don't have to do anything.
Yes.
Not even try to be healthy or do something. It's just like sweet art of doing nothing.
Indeed. And Julie makes an interesting point with this, that so many pills have so many side effects.
Absolutely.
And so, when we're taking, pharmaceutical chemicals, and this could be chemicals of any kind, like even if you smoke cigarettes or you eat something that has toxic elements in it, how do you suggest cleaning that out of your body? I think we both have some strategies with that. So you go first.
So basically, if you're on medications, to gradually reduce them. I've supported lots of people in coming off medications, particularly if they're kind of important ones, that they need to be reduced gradually. Healthy diet, clean water. I'll often recommend salads and juicing and those kind of things. And also maybe to know that your body will release and is releasing, making sure that your bowels are working well, that you haven't got diarrhea or constipation, that at restoring that balance, but lots of good water, juicing, nice food. But also my way is not too extreme. My way would be gentle, healthy eating with more salads, more fruits, more water. And your body's just going to clear out.
Yeah, I eat more junk food personally, being that I live in America. And I find that with toxicity, I take things that will clean out my lower intestines and the, I can't think of that last.
Colon.
Thank you. And that's always really good. So one of the things that really drags a lot of your toxicity out of your in lower intestines is activated charcoal. You can buy it at most health food stores. Activated charcoal just pulls out toxins in general. So yeah. If you're having something that's toxic, if you smoke or you do other things, that's a really good one. But I've been a really good fan of this stuff. I had a diverticulitis in France. What a great tourist adventure is to go to the hospital for 7 days with diverticulitis. I'll never forget it. But it took a while for it to start rebuilding while I was still in France, because I spent several months here. And when I got back to the States, my friend Neil Dumra of Third Eye Cacao Lounge, who's been on the show a few times, suggested I take Silagi, and that is Silghai. It's a Tibetan mineral substance. And Silagi repairs, rebuilds, and just keeps your bowels moving in a healthier way that I've known for years. So I'm a big fan of Silagi to clean things out.
And that's fantastic. And it also restores the minerals. And there are mushrooms that you can take. The other thing I have recommended to people where there was extreme toxicity, for some reason my mind is going blank on the word, when you put a tube up you and you actually clean out with water.
Oh, colonoscopy. No, not colonoscopy.
No, it's not. That's the word's coming in me.
Colostomy.
No, that's the operation. But it's quite a drastic thing to do. But when it's very
colonic.
When it's very severe, that can be a helpful thing to do. And also juicing and a level of fasting there. But generally, Silagi, which I have taken from Bart, is really great. You get all the minerals, because after I came back from India, I was a little depleted. And there are mushrooms and mushroom tinctures that can also really restore and detox. Mushrooms are miracle foods. Mm. They really are. But it's also like everybody is individual, and knowing that you're going to find the right solutions for you.
Yes, yes, indeed. I want you to think, we're coming down to the last 2 minutes of the radio show. Mm. So I want you to think about a 1 minute message that you can give everybody. And while you think about that, I'm going to tell everybody that my name is Bart Sharp and you are listening to Becoming Quantum Conscious. And you are with Michaela O'Driscoll, and you can find her at michaelaodriscoll.com. And she does homeopathy. She's a sound healer as well. So check out our website. I've not been reminding people of that. And you are on United Public Radio Network and UFO Paranormal Radio Network at 107.7, 105.3. And on Roku, UPR, in website, Facebook, X, YouTube, etc. And next week, we're going to have a really cool show. And just like this one, we're going to have the return of Perdita Finn and her husband, and the return of Clark Strand. They both are professional writers, and they originally showed up with their own books, A Walk in the Dark by Clark Strand and Take Back the Magic by Perdita Finn. But they wrote this really unique book that's been one of my favorite books of the last 2 years, like top 10 favorite of the last 2 years. Let's put it in that category called Way of the Rose. And so we're going to do a Way of the Rose interview with Perdita Finn and Clark Strand next week. And so we've got last words from Julie. Love this show. Thank you. Thank you for being in the chat, Julie. Any last words for our audience?
Yeah, my last words are stay healthy and remember that your body is a miracle and that our bodies love to heal. Healing is our nature. So go and work with your body and spend time in nature. Nature is also healing. So, and lots of love to everybody. And thank you for having me, Bart.
Oh, my pleasure. Yes, it's lots of fun. And if you got homeopathic questions, contact Michaela at michaelaodriscoll.com.
Thank you.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Thank you.
Until then, bye-bye.
Bye.